in the temple at that time during the Feast of Tabernacles, and you'll get to hear a little bit more about the description of what happened then. So once again, I invite you just to stand with me as we look at that passage of Scripture. John chapter 7. On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, what you heard Jesus say this morning, that's what he said. And then verse 9, by this he meant the Spirit whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. This is the word of the Lord. Please take your seats. For a few weeks now, we've together been yearning and anticipating and reaching out to the Spirit of the living God to touch our lives. And for sure, last Sunday, a number of us just took steps of faith where we went to reach out for the presence of the Spirit in our lives. This morning, I want to just briefly speak to us on how we can live the life of the fullness of the Spirit, living the life of the fullness of the Spirit in our lives. The secret behind all this, dear friends, my brothers and sisters, is that we need to go all out. We need to open our hearts and just go all out to receive and embrace the Spirit of God in our lives. Because the gift that has been given has been lavished upon us. In Joel chapter 2, verse 28, the prophet Joel was prophesying, saying, it shall come to pass in the last days that I'll pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. There is this aspect of speaking that changes when the Holy Spirit comes upon your life. You begin to prophesy. Certainly, he touches the way you're going to pray. He touches the way you're going to worship. He touches the way you're just going to speak and proclaim forth his word. You will speak out. You have no other thing to do but to speak out. You may say, oh no, I'm Australian, I can't speak out. The Australians speak. Or you can say, oh, I'm Chinese, or I'm Canadian. It's all flesh upon Canadian flesh. No, Canadian flesh, don't shout. I've heard it shout in a hockey stadium. So all flesh will scream and proclaim the name of the Lord. Amen. Amen. So the Spirit of God shall come upon all flesh, and all flesh will magnify the Lord. I know there are many questions that we might have. Last Sunday you heard some people speak with other tongues. You may ask yourself questions. Why didn't I speak in tongues? Why haven't I spoken in tongues? There have been many debates on the aspect of speaking in tongues. Should we? Shouldn't we? Should we or shouldn't we? The Apostle Paul, speaking to the Ephesians, to the Thessalonians, he said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, forbid not to speak with other tongues, but let everything be done in order. Test all things. The account of Corinthians, in another account, where there's a setting and context of rivalry concerning the gift of speaking with other tongues, and the Apostle Paul gives some injunctions there. But the Spirit of God would want us to open up and receive him the way he's going to come and speak into our lives. So we invite you, if you have questions to discuss one-on-one on the aspect of the Holy Spirit, come and see us. See Tim, see me, the rest of the leaders. We sit down and we float together in this direction of the move of the Spirit. God cares that we should be alive to the presence of the Spirit in our lives. We must be alive to the presence of the Spirit. We must not just yearn for a little bit. We must yearn for more. If you're going swimming, you put on your swimming costume or gear and you go with your friends to swim. Your friends dive in the pool. You sort of just walking around and say, oh, I'll get in. And you're just walking around, or you put your toes there and then you jump out. And, you know, God wants you to dive. Take a dive in there. You see, if you've gone to swim, you better take a dive into the pool. There's no use, you know, putting on a swimming gear when you are not going to swim. So we've been invited to just dive in and just get this abundance of the Spirit of God that has been poured upon our lives. Jesus' ministry through the Spirit brought life to the dead religious institution in the nation of Israel. The Feast of Tabernacles was a commemoration of the acts of salvation among God's people, how God delivered the children of Israel from Egypt in slavery and then brought them through the wilderness into the promised land, and how God provided for them. So God instituted a feast of weeks, or 7 weeks, seven weeks when they were to gather in one central place, a place that he would show them in the temple and celebrate the deliverance of the Lord. So that's the Feast of Tabernacles. And that was held every year to celebrate the harvest as well, to celebrate the unity that God had brought upon the nation of Israel. Not only so, to also anticipate the coming of the Messiah and the pouring of the Spirit, and they would also expect the coming of the four rains. So what would happen was, the priest would lead the progression of the worshippers. They would go to the pool of Siloam, go and draw water, and then come and go circle the altar in the temple, and then the priest would be pouring water the other side and wine on the other side, and they would be reading psalms to praise the Lord and thank him for his goodness. They would do that every day. On the seventh day, they would do it 7 times. It was the greatest day of the feast when they would do it 7 times. And you saw how the priest was pouring water there. And as they were doing that, Jesus comes on the scene. How did Jesus get there? It all begins from this one. When the brothers spoke to Jesus and said, "Jesus, it's the Feast of Tabernacles. Why don't you go up to Jerusalem and show people what you can do?" But when the Jewish festival of Tabernacles was near, Jesus' brothers said to him, "Leave Galilee and go to Judea so that your disciples there may see the works you do. No one who wants to become a public figure acts in secret. Since you are doing these things, show yourself to the world." For even his own brothers did not believe in him. Verse 6. "Therefore Jesus told them, 'My time is not yet here. For you any time will do. The world cannot hurt you, but it hurts me, because I testify that its works are evil. You go to the festival. I'm not going up to this festival, because my time has not fully come.'" Verse 9, "After he has said this, he stayed in Galilee." Verse 10, "However, after his brothers had left for the festival, he went also, not publicly, but in secret." Why did Jesus do that? One moment he says, "I'm not going there, you go yourselves." And then later on he sneaks in. You know, there have been theological debates on this passage of scripture. Some theologians wanting to clean it up. "No, he meant this, he meant this." Actually, he just meant what he said. You know, and I was just thinking about this. I said, "Lord, what does this mean? Perhaps you're saying, look, for those reasons, I'm not coming over there. For those reasons, I'm not coming over there. My path to glory involves the cross. My path to glory involves the cross." And here's another anointing thought, or anointed thought, that came upon my mind as I was reading through this passage of scripture. You see, Jesus was going through this motion year after year, going through this ceremony, and he would watch the priest pouring water and the psalms being read, and every scripture that was being read was pointing to him as the fulfillment of what they were doing. And he was, so to speak, sick and tired of it, that they could not see that he was in their midst. They just didn't get it. So he says, "I'm not going there unless I have something new to go and speak to them. Unless I go and speak a word of revolution in their lives, that they may see. Open their eyes and see. You know, sometimes you can sustain the motions of worship. You can sustain the motions of religious ceremonies and thinking the Spirit of God is with you. It's not guaranteed. What we are doing was not, it was in heresy. It was all religious. It was all anointed by God. But it had its own time. A new paradigm was now coming. The Messiah had come, and the Messiah was bringing a termination element to the aspect of their worship by way of fulfilling their aspirations, by the way of quenching the longing of their hearts. That's the reason why he came. And he stands up, and he sees that water being poured and the wine being poured, and he says, "Whoever is thirsty, let him come to me and drink." And there were dissenting voices there, and others affirmed. Can we imagine? Did it feel like that when Randy stood up and to read? Who is this guy? Why is he disturbing what's going on in front there? So that's kind of what it felt like. So there are people that were holding on and treasuring those religious ceremonies. And when something new came, when the real thing came, you know, they were disturbed. They were disturbed, and they were seeking to kill Jesus, actually. We'll kill him. We're going to kill this revival. It's not going anywhere. Are you listening to me? You know, there are people that are there just to kill the revival. No, something new has come, and Jesus is drawing attention to himself that, look, I am the fulfillment of all this. Whoever is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. So this was at this important festival, the Feast of Tabernacles. In fact, they would live in temporal structures during that period. They would all come out and live in temporal structures called booths. We can see a picture right down there. Just go to the next slide. So it would look something like that. So families would be in shelters like that and just live and stay together the whole week. And they would be eating together and celebrating and sacrificing to the Lord. And to this day, they still do it in the synagogues. They still do it. Can you see how you can be lost and hold on to something that may not have the Spirit at all? And just because it's been done does not mean God, you know, has continued in that ceremony. You can go right up. You know what? You know, I've been listening. You can go the slide just upwards. I've been listening to, not downwards, upwards, please. Back to where I was. I'm not done with the first one. I've been listening to people's aspirations and praying, oh, we need revival in this place. And some say, okay, let's go back from where we went wrong. Perhaps let's go back to the liturgy and just resurrect the liturgy. And, you know, perhaps let's embrace, you know, Pentecostalism, and let's do all this. We have to be clear what we are looking for. Are you looking for Jesus? Are you thirsting for Jesus? Are you thirsting for the presence of the fullness of the Spirit in your life? And what will it take for you to thirst for that and to receive that? It may not mean going to the liturgy. Neither will it mean holding on to Pentecostal forms that have no bearing at all on people's lives or transforming or changing people's lives. The Holy Spirit was poured out for the nation. The Holy Spirit was poured out to bring healing to the nations. Okay, so some technical things that I need to do here. So the Holy Spirit was given to bring healing to the nations. So if you are seeking the Spirit of God for yourself and for your pleasure and for your glory, then you must as well forget it. Let's just go watch hockey. But listen to me. Our desire and yearning for the presence of the Spirit of God must be connected to what is happening on Broadway Street, Commercial Street, and all those streets around and downtown. You know, that's where our desires must be connected to the nations, the need of the nations for the gospel, the need for your neighbor to hear the gospel. Those streams of living water, they need to go out and touch the nations out there. When the water was poured in the temple, it was poured there was an aqueduct that took the water out. Symbolic of saying that the water will go out of the temple and go out to the nations. So the Israelites failed to discern the time of the giving of the Spirit or the fulfillment of the age of the Spirit in Jesus. As a church, let's be sensitive enough that we're discerning what the Spirit is doing, what he's saying, where he's leading us. Are we seeking for Jesus or are we seeking for glory? Are we seeking for the Spirit or just seeking for what's happening next door at the neighborhood? Let's seek the presence of the Spirit of God in our lives, not just the form of what we see. You know, aren't you tired sometimes just to come to church and hear the same songs, do the same things? How many of you are tired? Why did you come here anyway? Why did you even come? What I'm saying is we need to all the time be expectant of the freshness of the presence of God in our lives. In our lives, in families, individuals, and as a church. I'm not saying you stop coming, but you need, you know, to come with that aspect of bringing that sense of bearing. And when we come and celebrate together and spur one another, then we shall be, you know, sent out to take the life where it's supposed to be taken. I remember back home at our church, there's one time I read a passage of scripture. Every time I preached, I read that passage of scripture in Matthew chapter 28, verse 20. I read it for the full year. I was sending people out, chasing them from church every Sunday. I read that for the whole year. Catherine can bear witness with me. And we shall be very deliberate in, you know, teaching and discipling all of us, you know, in following the way and the vision of the Spirit. So let's embrace the Spirit and walk in his fullness. Next slide, please. So we will live the life of the fullness of the Spirit, and we'll live the life of the fullness of the Spirit when we exercise ourselves in the disciplines of keeping the freshness of the presence of the Spirit as prescribed by this passage of Scripture in John chapter 7. So we need to exercise yourself. It doesn't just happen. It doesn't just pop up. No. We need to exercise ourselves. Somebody say exercise. So we need to exercise ourselves to the fullness of the Spirit. We need to shake off some religion from our lives. We need to shake off some hardness, shake it off and just yearn for something that is new and fresh. We need to shake off the old. Shake off what happened yesterday and reach out to what is happening today for the good of tomorrow. First thing that we need to do is we need to thirst before God. Thirst for the fullness of the Spirit. It's only when you are thirsty that you are going to have the longing to drink. Are you listening to me? Only when you are thirsty will you have the need to drink. So you need to show that thirst for the presence of God. And it's going to just take more than the motions that we do. We need to be a church that are called, you know, to thirst for Jesus. How are we going to thirst for Jesus and the Spirit? We need to bury ourselves in the study of God's Word. We need to bury ourselves into prayer. We are all invited to come and drink. So we are all invited to come and drink from Jesus, from this river that never runs dry. But we need to thirst for that. We need to long for that. We need to call ourselves to times and moments of prayer. Prayer times without end, as individuals, as families. Back home in the church where we belong, there are times that we have called the church to prayer. 21 days coming to the temple, to the house of God, every day praying and fasting in the presence of God and doing ministry, healing the sick, casting out devils. And it's not just me that does it, even children and young people. Remember sending a team of youth that that go to school to another province to go and minister, and the bishop of that province phoned me, said, "Pastor, the kids have just opened blind eyes." So those are children. Why? Because the Spirit of God was moving in their life. They would go into prayer and fasting, praying even longer and harder than adults would do. Dear friends, we can't just arrive there. We have to show seriousness in this sense. There are times when we have to do away with pastry in the lobby there. Are you listening to me? Nothing wrong with pastry. Jesus was at the feast of Tabernacles here, but it's not all the time that he ate pastry. Sometimes he kept himself away from pastry for 1 week, 2 weeks, 40 days to seek the will of the Father. We need to come to that point. We have a saying in mother tongue back home that it doesn't come like teeth in the mouth. You know, a child grows teeth. Oh, a child has grown teeth. No, it doesn't just come like that. There's a process of exercising yourself, exercising your spirit, exercising your spiritual faculties before the presence of God, and yearning and enlarging your capacity to receive more. Because what has been poured out is the fullness of the Spirit. There won't be any other spirit to be poured. If you didn't know, the Spirit of God has been poured out in his fullness. So drinking from the fullness of the Spirit is a decisive step that you need to take, dear friends. In Exodus chapter 17, verse 6, and 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 to 4, we are told that Jesus is the rock from where waters gushed out, and people, you know, were satisfied, and as they drank from that waters, when they cried in the wilderness and Moses, you know, struck that rock, the Apostle Paul, interpreting that in 1 Corinthians 3, 10, 3 to 4, says that rock was Christ. So we need to come to Jesus and drink. And when we drink, dear friends, there will be a change, a transformation in our lives. The Bible says, streams of living water will flow from within us. Streams of living water will flow from within us. We need to come to a moment whereby when we're praying, singing praises to God, we can literally feel the streams in our bellies. We can literally feel the heat, the warmth and the stirring in our spirits, in our body, in our body, so that, you know, as we speak out, we are speaking life to people. You know, sometimes when we speak out to the communities, we speak death. But we need to speak hope, speak life, speak encouragement, speak direction, speak the will and the purpose of God, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. The picture of the river in Ezekiel chapter 47 flowing from the city going to the nations is given by Ezekiel to speak about the Holy Spirit who would be given in the latter days. These are the days in this age of the Messiah that will be culminated into his coming forth and heaven and earth coming together and God inhabiting the presence of his people. Then there will be healing going to all the nations. But it begins today. As the Spirit comes into your life, the rivers are not beginning from the temple in Jerusalem. They are beginning from your heart to your neighbors. They are beginning from your heart to your workmates. They are beginning from your heart, you know, to your schoolmates and your business colleagues. It all begins from your heart. What kind of person will you be in the community when you have rivers flowing from you all over, going in all directions? People will run to you, and people will run to this place. The disposition of desire and conviction will prepare your heart to receive. Let's have that disposition of desire and conviction, and let's not hold back. Dear friends, when these rivers begin to flow, you can't afford to hold back. You can't. You're going to burst. I tell you a story when We were planting a church in 1986 with my brother then, and we were four brothers and one convert. We planted this church in this town, and after about 8 Sundays or so, we were filling a classroom, about 25 or 30 of us. One Sunday evening, my brother was the pastor, then was praying and praying for people to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. So we saw people speak with other tongues and magnify God, and we went home. Now, my younger brother did not speak in tongues, so we went home and we sort of began to tease him. You know what brothers do at home? We began to tease him. So the eldest brother was sharing this apartment, which had like 4 bedrooms with 3 other workmates, and there was just 1 bathroom for everybody. So one particular evening, in fact, that same evening, my younger brother disappeared, went into the bathroom. And then we heard the loudest noise that we had never heard before in that house. He was speaking with other tongues. It's like he was tired of our teasing. He was sick of it. He went in there and said, "Kah! I'm thirsty." And right there in the bathroom, you know, the Lord zapped him there. And then, you see, and all the housemates were there. So we went by that. Okay, we have heard. Come out now. So what am I saying here? You see, this path to the fullness of the Spirit and the manifestation of His presence in our lives, it may be different for some. It may be gradual for some. It may take point at some stage in their lives. It may take shape then. But what we need to do is just continue to seek, thirst, and believe that the Spirit of God is for me. The Spirit of God is for me. The blessing of God is for me. The secret is that don't hold back. Don't hold back and say, "No, me, I'm humble. I don't shout." No, we don't shout in this church. You know, when the Spirit of God comes upon you, anything will go. Just anything, just about anything will go. Of course, there's a way in which we are going to mop up a few things. Leave that to us. We're going to mop up with the teachings and all that. So, are you listening to what I'm saying? Okay. Secondly, where are we? In Psalms 42, verse 1, if you go down to that illustration there, David was yearning for the presence of God. And he said, "As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God." Have you ever been so thirsty that, you know, and water seems to be so far away from where? Have you been on a journey, a long journey, in a parched land? I've been on a journey like that. And I was so thirsty, so famished, hungry, and I was just waiting for some refreshment to come. Some years back, I think we had gone shopping with my dad to Tanzania, and he bought a bag of salt. Can't remember how heavy it was, and there was some distance that we had to walk, and I carried that salt on my head. And I was so thirsty and hungry, and we ran out of food. We had been walking like for 5 hours, and we find this home where we were refreshed, and I regained my strength. Literally regained my strength, because my throat, my heart, my whole body was parched. So when you come to that point where you desire the presence of God so much, the Bible says He will satisfy your thirsty soul. Secondly, we need to stay in the state of believing. When Jesus said, "Whoever is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me." The sense that he uses in the word believe, it's in the present participle, you know, continuous tense. It's a perfect tense. It's continuous. He who continues to believe in me, out of his belly will flow streams of living water. So you never arrive. It's like you never get there. You still have to go. You have to go on that journey. There is more. Whoever continues to believe, out of his belly shall flow streams of living water. Stay in the faith. Apply yourself to the word of God, to Jesus. It happens in a relationship. It doesn't happen out of a relationship. Sometimes you come, say, oh, pray for me. I need the Spirit of God in my life. But you have no relationship with Jesus. You have not sustained a relationship with Jesus for some time. It doesn't just happen like that. You have to have that relationship that is growing between you and Jesus. So believe in Jesus continually. Jesus has called us to the life of continuous faith in him. A life planted in Jesus becomes a reservoir of life, giving streams of water to others, to the nations. Planted in Jesus. Let's be planted in Jesus. Let's desire Jesus in our lives. Let's desire nobody else, nothing else, but desire Jesus in our lives. Our hearts should overflow with the fullness of the Spirit, you know, through, you know, praying to him passionately. Come forth to God. Just come forth and bring out your heart's desire to God. He is your Father. He's the best dad that I've ever known. He gives good gifts to his children. How much more shall your heavenly Father give the Spirit to those that ask him? He's a good Father. He has good plans for you, good purposes for your life. He has a destiny for you. He has a vision for you, for your family, for the church. He has a vision for us and for the nations. Gathered here, we are many nations. When we are filled with the Spirit and these rivers begin to flow, nations are going to be blessed. God will begin sending a number of you to not only to the city, but to the nations. You are going to impact nations. We must have a vision that is impacting on the nations. And when God brings you to a privilege like this, you can't just afford not to have the abundance of the Spirit in your life. A life planted in Jesus will become such a reservoir. So our hearts should overflow with that fullness. In Isaiah chapter 55, verse 1, that illustration there, Isaiah the prophet, looking to the coming of the Messiah and the pouring of the Spirit in fullness, says, come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. You are speaking of the Spirit of God. He has been given. He has been poured. Come and drink. All are invited. It's up to you. Let's come and drink from him. Thirdly, let's live countercultural lives as we embrace the fullness of the Spirit. See, the Spirit of God has come to fill our lives so that we may live kingdom lives that are going to counter our cultures, engage with our cultures, counter them, and fill them with the presence of God. That's the reason why we're here. Let's be different in our speech. I did mention that when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, when you are baptized with the Spirit, filled with the Spirit, he changes the way you speak. Your talk changes. Just the way you speak changes. The way you pray changes. If your mouth was cursing, it begins to bless. Why? Because out of the abundance of the heart, one speaks. So if you speak in curses from your life, that's the abundance of your heart. But if you are speaking blessings from your heart, that's the abundance that the Spirit has supplied in your life. So the coming of the Spirit demands that we terminate our relationships with worldly living, not leaving the world, but worldly living, and we are still in the world to reclaim it for Jesus. This world does not belong to Satan. It belongs to God. And it belongs to the purposes of the kingdom of God. And God has planted us here as a church to reclaim every inch of it. Every person in the world, reclaim them for Jesus. That's the purpose. So how are we going to do that? We must not live like them. We must live the way we are. We must be who we are, filled with the Spirit of God, praising the Lord, be it on the streets, on the bus, on the sky train, praising the Lord, glorifying the Lord. And they will look at you, I want what you've got. How come you can smile like that? Catherine, my wife, tells me time when I think she and Lois were on the bus. I think they are going shopping and we're just chatting and just testifying, laughing and filled with joy. And people around them were looking at them. That was on the bus. You are so happy, you two. It's the joy of the Lord. Because they are speaking differently. Their speech has changed. Ephesians, let's quickly go to Ephesians and just get the gist of what I'm talking about here. What is Ephesians? Somebody tell me. Okay. Did you say just after Genesis? I'll see you afterwards. Okay. I could read the whole passage that is shown there. There's a lot to say, but we shall continue to say these things. You can't just exhaust this. Teaching continues. I would have loved to start from where you see there, but I begin from verse 29. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger and brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, and forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. We end just there. So, in our speech, we must show that we are people filled with the Spirit of God. The coming of the Spirit demands that, you know, it shows in the way we relate with one another, we relate with the communities, and the basis and the foundation of all that is love. When we injure relationships with one another, the Bible says it directly grieves the Holy Spirit. When we injure the relationships with our neighbors and the communities, it directly grieves the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit is grieved in your life, you become ineffective. These rivers that I'm talking about here, they kind of begin to shrink a little bit and just begin to billow just within, and they are no longer going forth. So we have to come to a point again where we stay our lives so that those rivers can start flowing out. So when we live lives that are worldly and we live in bitterness and also complicity with the activities of the world, we grieve the Holy Spirit. It doesn't leave you. No, the Bible says he will come and abide in you forever, but he just gets grieved. So you become a weakened believer, and you are just game for the attacks of the enemy. Anytime you open up your life to the enemy, and he's going to attack your life. So let's not grieve the Holy Spirit. Let's not make him sad. Let's make him, you know, habitable in our lives. Welcome in our lives. Let's receive him and welcome him, you know, in our lives by the way we live, by the way we conduct ourselves. So let's abandon also just mere religious culture, mere motions in our lives, and let's go for the demonstration of the Spirit's power and live kingdom lives. So when we do that, when we abandon just the forms of religion, just keeping up appearances, just because I'm a Pentecostal, then I'll speak in tongues. If that's how I'm going to take my spiritual life, that brings grief to the Holy Spirit, because there's no hunger and thirst in my life. There's no passion for my brother and my sister. There's no concern for the community And I just want to go on with the motions of the spirit or outward manifestation, so to speak. No, that's grieving the spirit of God in our lives. So let's live lives that are authentically spiritual, tuned in to the flow of the spirit in our lives. So let's be planted deep in his word and in his name and in his spirit, so that, you know, we may become, you know, a people that are fresh with his presence. In Psalm 1, verse 1 to 3, if we go to that illustration, tell your neighbor and say, you'll soon conclude. So I'll be done soon. Jesus said, or rather David, everything is becoming Jesus to me now. David is a type of Jesus. Blessed is the one who does not walk in the step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Such is a person filled with the Spirit. Such is a person who is daily being filled with the Spirit, planted in the streams of living water, becomes like an evergreen tree, bearing fruit in and out of season. Even when winter comes, it still has fruit. This is what the psalmist is talking about. There is no dry season, hostile season. You are ever bearing fruit. Come hardship in your life, you don't hold back. Whatever circumstance comes, joy, pain, you are hanging on in there. You are bearing fruit, giving life and changing the circumstances by the presence of the Spirit of God living in your life. Hallelujah, somebody. Praise God. You're so quiet on me. Now, listen to me. Should you forget this sermon for some reason, I want you to remember these three things as I conclude. God has lavished us with the fullness of the Spirit. We have received this fullness of the Spirit, and we've been invited to come and drink. Come and drink. It's not just for me. This is for you. It's for our children's children, as far as it shall go, and as many as the Lord continues to call. It's for generations and generations to come. So we must come to a moment and point when we fan our lives into the flame of the Spirit by desiring the Spirit and engaging our cultures so that they are transformed to follow the will and purpose of God's kingdom. It is only the Spirit, you know, it's only the Spirit who will quench the longing of people's desires. Whatever aspirations people have, it's only the Spirit that will quench that. You know, it's not the New Age meditation. No, it is meditating on the Spirit of God that will bring life. No, people are going for different, you know, sources of what I'm talking about, and you have what it takes for them to be filled. So let's, you know, long for that, so that we can go and give this to the nations. For further readings of this passage of scripture, as we shall go into prayer, there are references at the bottom there if you are writing these notes, and you can go and start further. Just give them that slide, and we'll just go into a time of just praying and asking God, Lord, here we are. What is it in my life that is grieving you, Holy Spirit? Lord, I confess of it. I turn away from it. Forgive me. What arguments are going on in my life? Sometimes if you have arguments concerning the Spirit of God in your mind, those become strongholds. They inhibit the fullness of the Spirit in you. So get rid of those arguments in your mind. Some of it will be a process. So let God help you get rid of that, so that you can reconcile your thoughts together with regards to the work of the Spirit in your life. And then come to Him and drink. Drinking is a step of faith. When you come to Jesus, you just drink. And when you drink, you say, thank you, Jesus. You begin to flow in praises, in thanksgiving. You open up, you speak forth. And as you begin to thank and pray, then the Bible says, then streams of living water begin to billow from within you and they flow out of your mouth. When I received the baptism in the Holy Spirit, it was 1981. I was in school, went home on holiday. I was just finishing high school or something. And I found my brother who had been exposed to the work of the Spirit. And he called me in the bedroom, says, have you ever heard about the baptism in the Holy Spirit? I said, no. So he taught me, he spoke with me, and the two of us in there, it was about 15:55 in the afternoon. I remember the day. And then he laid hands on me. I began to thank God and praise. And I began to feel a sense of fire in my belly and a sense of joy. By the time it came to my lips, I was in tears and I was babbling with other tongues. From that moment on, my life never changed. I became a preacher of the gospel, went back to my school. I was sharing the gospel not only with my students, but also with the teachers. And remember going to the vice principal's house, led the family to the Lord, laid my hands on them. They received the Spirit and they began to magnify the Lord. So after many years, 4 years ago, this former vice principal visited my church. He had gone to work abroad somewhere. He came, visited my church, and I was able to testify to the church. I said, this is the man I was talking about. Are you listening to me? Let's stand and just pray together. I can bore you with